Good morning, everybody. Welcome. If I haven't met you, my name is Sam. We're really glad you're here for another week of How to Study the Bible. We are going to start on time from now on. We've been really kind of letting everybody wander in a little bit more slowly the first couple of weeks, but we've got each week more material to follow up with. We want more time for you at your table. So we're going to go ahead this morning as the last people are filtering in and go ahead and start with some opening questions at your table. Again, a little bit of a mixer just to get you started in some conversation. We'll do that till 9:55, and then Jamie's going to come. She's going to teach the head part of the lesson. Then we'll have time at the tables. It'll come back up front. She'll teach some more. So it'll be back and forth, but we're going to leave a longer window of time at the end of the morning for you to fellowship together. So up on the screen, you're going to see some questions just to get you started this morning. And it's a high-low. Maybe you've done this with your kids when they were coming home from school. You have to do it with boys. Girls spill their guts. Boys say nothing. So you have to, like, pry it out. Usually this revolved around recess answers, but high and low. So this week, what was something that was a high? Something that you would want to celebrate or that was encouraging to you? Or maybe something that was sort of a low, something that, did I get it wrong already? Something that was challenging or hard.
I'm just telling y'all that coffee is here for those of you who need it. So anyway.
Yes, during this fellowship time, important things like coffee, you need to get up and do that. So for sure. So share with each other some of the highs and lows of the week. Gives a little bit of insight. And they can be, you know, shallow things like yesterday was my husband's birthday. The only thing he really wanted was shoes that he bought for himself 2 weeks ago online on Amazon. So fortunately, a friend gave me an idea of like printing a family picture for his office, which was great, except I'm not really tech savvy and realized after I printed it, instead of horizontal, it was vertical and our two boys were cut off the end. So yesterday I gave him a birthday present with his daughter-in-laws and him in a picture. It was great. So, you know, that might have been my high and low combined together. It's kind of hard to tell, but The corrected horizontal version is on order, so we'll see if that gets in here. But share about that. If you've got some time and there's something that jumped out at you this week in the verses, that would be a great thing to share as well. But you've only got till 9:55, so talk fast and get your coffee, and we'll be back.
All right, so I hate to interrupt y'all, but what we're going to do is the room is available just in the future from 9:30. We are set and ready to go. Normally, we'll have coffee ready at 9:30, but we are set, ready, and go at 9:30. Y'all want to come early and connect. We'll already put the questions on the screen, but we're going to try to have a shorter time of connecting in the front end so y'all can have 30 minutes. So for those with D groups, I'm trying to be intentional at the end that y'all will have 30 minutes to connect on the back end, and then I'll have questions for those who are here for Bible study that y'all can continue to connect. So I know you're always going to be frustrated with us on the front end. I'm going to name that, and that's okay. But we're going to try to give you more time on the back end. But you are always welcome to come early. I know there are some early birds that come. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump in. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for these women who got up and came here to really learn more about you. I pray that is what happens. God, I pray that after today, each one will walk away with maybe something they didn't know, a new skill about studying your word, maybe a new thought about who you are by studying Philippians. But more importantly, we pray for our hearts to be more in love with you, that we would see you lifted up. And God, I pray even as we do details like making observations, God, help our hearts be able to do that and at the same time to really worship. At the same time, would you, by your Holy Spirit, would you enlighten our eyes and hearts as we study? We know you are the one that makes it make sense. And we thank you for that. We thank you that Scripture is God-breathed, that none of your word returns void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which you sent it. And so, God, we come and we want to learn about you, but we also want to learn from you. I pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to start with review, and I am a note person. I was working on this at 11:30 last night. I didn't realize how small your notes are going to be. So for some of you who can't read it like me, hopefully you have your readers. And for the rest that are younger, hopefully y'all can. But I wanted to give you SOAR, and so we're going to go through SOAR. Does anybody know what S is? And y'all could just, I'm going to have it on the screen. It's on your paper, but if you just want to say, what is S? Survey. So the big picture, the first week we talked about the whole story of Scripture. You don't open a book and start in the middle. You actually want to know the whole story. And as we're studying, we're paying attention, not just the whole study of Scripture. We're looking at the book. What's the purpose of Philippians? And then we're going to fine tune in. I'm going to have Cindy, and this is one of those technological, my computer doesn't work for this, but we're going to watch, if y'all have ever heard of Bible projects, one of the things we want to do is equip you with resources during this. And so what we're going to do is just watch a 2-minute overview from Bible Project, just about what Philippians is about, just as a refresher.
Paul's letter to the Philippians. The church in Philippi was the first Jesus community Paul started in Eastern Europe, and that story is told in Acts chapter 16. Philippi was a Roman colony in ancient Macedonia. It was full of retired soldiers, and it was known for its patriotic nationalism. And so there Paul faced resistance when he was announcing Jesus as the true king of the world. And after Paul moved on from there, those who became followers of Jesus continued to suffer resistance and even persecution, but they remained a vibrant community faithful to the way of Jesus. Paul sent this letter from one of his many imprisonments, and for a very practical reason. The Philippians had sent one of their members, Epaphroditus, to take a financial gift to Paul to support him in prison. And Paul sent back this letter with Epaphroditus to say thank you and to do a whole lot more. The design of this letter doesn't develop one single idea from beginning to end like many of Paul's other letters. Rather, Paul has arranged a series of short, reflective essays or vignettes, and they all revolve around the center of gravity in this letter, which is a poem in chapter 2. It artistically retells the story of the Messiah's incarnation, his life, death, and resurrection, and exaltation. And then in each of these vignettes, Paul will take up key words or ideas from that poem to show how living as a Christian means seeing your own story as a lived expression of Jesus' story. So Paul opens the letter with a prayer of gratefulness, and he thanks God for the Philippians' generosity, for their faithfulness, and he expresses his confidence that the life-transforming work that God has begun in them will continue into greater and more beautiful expressions of faithfulness and love. And Paul then focuses on their obvious concern at the moment, which is his status in prison. Being in a Roman prison was no picnic, but it paradoxically has turned out for good to advance the good news about Jesus. So all of the Roman guards, the administrators, they all know that Paul's in prison for announcing Jesus as the risen Lord. And his imprisonment, it's inspired confidence in other Christians to talk about Jesus more openly. And Paul's optimistic that he will be released from prison, but
all right,
it's
I'm gonna
possible
pause it
that he could be
executed.
Because
we don't want to give away.
And as he reflects on it, that actually wouldn't be so bad, because for me, Paul says.
All right, I don't want to give away what we're studying today. That y'all like, that's like the cheat sheet. So that's kind of a summary of here's the overall letter. Here's what we learned last week about his imprisonment and how people were more encouraged to share the gospel. And so now we're going to jump back in where we are today. All right, what is O? For SSS survey, what was O? Observation. So Sam talked about you're stating the obvious. You're asking questions. You get the info directly from this verse or the surrounding verses. You're answering questions like what? What was one of them? Who? What? When? Why? Where? How? You look for what is emphasized, repeated, related, alike, and alike. Okay, what was A? Anybody remember A? Analysis, which is basically interpretation. It's like, what does it mean? And then you have R, response, which I like response better than application, because it is because of what the Lord taught me. I'm not just sucking it up and applying it. Because of what God is doing in my heart, I'm responding today. And we always, even though we're teaching these skills like observation, we always want y'all to get to, how is he calling me to respond to that today? And so that's response. So this week is part 2 of observation, And next week we'll start an analysis. So part two of observation. When I think about observations, y'all know Sherlock Holmes. How many of y'all have seen Enola Holmes? It's like the daughter version. Okay. So you watch her, and what does she do? She goes in a room, he goes in a room, and they look at things that I would miss. And it's like there's a smoking pipe. There's a, oh, the curtain has a tear. There is a tiny, tiny blood drop there. So basically, they're not saying what happened yet. They're just looking for clues. They're looking all around, and they're doing clues. And then interpretation or analysis would be, here's what happened. I always am so surprised that they can know what's happened by looking at it. So that's what we're doing. So we are going to do a little fun, making observations, not about a verse. So if you go to the next one, do y'all remember this image from the first week, the creation, fall, redemption, consummation? So we're going to make observations at our table off of one of those, but I'm going to give you an example. So I'm going to just pick one because that's too many things, but I'm going to pick one. So let's say if you looked at creation, the far left side of the screen, observations are just stating any fact. There's a tree. It's green. There are three birds. Just things like that. All right. And so I need everybody to have a scribe at your table. So we have prizes for this. All right. So we're going to get, well, I'm going to wait to go to the next slide because y'all will be already looking. So the prizes for this one are two of the resources I've been using, Living by the Book and Understanding and Applying the Bible, which I'm going to talk a lot about, and $5 Atrium gift cards. So everybody at the table gets something. So this is a competition, ladies. So someone be your scribe. Pick somebody to be the scribe to write down the words. Who's the scribe? Pick your scribe. All right. Once you pick your scribe, just take a regular piece of paper. You got a scribe. Okay. Anybody need pens? Y'all have pens, right? Okay. All right, so what we're going to do is once we change the slide, there's going to be an image. You're going to write as many observations as you possibly can. When you think there's nothing else you can observe, keep going, all right? And I will have a timer. At some point, I will stop you. Are y'all ready? Set, go. We're going to change the slide. All right. I might have you get it. Yep. Yeah. All right, everybody has counted their observations? All right, how many tables have more than 20? Hopefully most of you. Okay, look at that. All right, how many more than 30? Okay, let's go down. You have more than 30. How many do y'all have? 32. Okay, can we take the mic and y'all read out your, maybe Cindy could take him the mic. Can y'all read out your observations? There was an, you changed your mind? Well, you can read it. Kelsey, you can read it.
Good morning. I looked and told them before we started, I was like, we may just catch up. That may be worth more to me than $5, but here we are. We won.
Okay.
So we just wrote down everything we saw first. So fruit, tree, birds, goldfinch, hummingbird, bluebird, shadow, green grass.
Isn't that impressive they knew the goldfinch?
Yeah. Cherries, lemon, blue sky, pear, pomegranate, life. It's an oak tree. Sunny from the right, branches, ooh, trunk, horizon line, it's spring, seven fruits, three birds, one tree. There's also a lime, which we missed at first. They're in a vertical row, the birds and the fruit. They're very big, the birds, out of ratio with the tree.
they are.
The tree is full and fluffy. The bark is gray. Everything's alive. And then there's a white tag.
That's awesome. Y'all, are y'all impressed? Okay. All right, y'all get the books, and someone else gets a... Here, I'm going to give y'all each a gift card. All right. Okay, so that's observations. Interpretation, you probably are curious. So, like, if you go to interpretation, it would be, because I was reading up on it, the fruit is overflowing. Can you go back to the first image? The fruit is overflowing. At first, there's fruit. And now in the new creation, the earth, it's overflowing. It's abundant. Do you look at the color? Now, there's something different you wouldn't have noticed by just looking at this image. Can you tell the color of that one versus the color of the first one? He purposely made it brighter because creation's great, but the fulfillment is greater. That's part of looking at context. Y'all would never have been able to make that observation. And then those are three birds, which I did not know what they were. That was impressive, that never really... are together, kind of like the lion and the lamb. So it has, that's interpretation of why, but y'all did a great job with making observations. I have one more competition later. So y'all are not out of the, they can't win again though. Sorry. All right. So basically, when you think you have made as many observations as you could, did y'all find you can make some more? And that is what we want to encourage you to do. Don't just write out a couple of thoughts and then go straight to interpretation. It's a skill of really sitting down. Every word is God breathed. Every word, and I know we have translations versus the Greek and Hebrew, but we've got great translations and we have tools that we can use. Every word has significance, and can really change the meaning of a word or a sentence. So we want to encourage y'all to slow down and really, like I need to when I speak, slow down and really observe. Take your time being inquisitive of the text, making observations of the text. All right, so today, some of you are going to groan when I say what we're going to do today, other than that, because that was fun. And I am not a grammar person, which probably isn't even the right way to say that. Are there any English teachers in the room that want to? Yep. Okay. Jackie, is it? Okay. We got a couple. All right. So y'all are going to want to correct me, and you are welcome to at the break come up and clarify. But what we're going to talk about are sentences, and we're going to talk about grammar, and we're going to talk about diagramming. Okay. And so some of you are like, no, but I promise it has been one of the most fun things for me in scripture. No tool that I give you, you have to use. So just know today you're going to try it out because I'm asking you to. If you hate it, then you don't use it again. But for some of you, you're going to love it. I promise. And understanding and applying the Bible, and I have it on there, that's one of the resources for this. All right, so structure of a sentence to the next slide. These are obvious, and these are on your notes. The reason I put everything on your notes is so that you guys don't have to feel like you're furiously writing things down, that you know anything that's really important is already on your page. So you just have freedom to listen, and if something is a big insight, write it down. Otherwise, no, I put the stuff on your notes. All right, so subject and objects. Everybody kind of knows what that is. The subject does the action, and the object is acting upon. So I put a sentence, and I put, Jamie Kate loves her enthusiastic brother, and he adores her. And so the colors correspond. Jamie Kate is the subject, and brother is the object. He is the subject, and her is the object. All right, verbs. They tell us action going on the text. The verbs are really one of my favorite things to look at. Is it a past thing? Has it already happened? Is it something going on right now? Is he talking about, there's times where even in Philippians, he'll talk about something past, and in the same sentence, he's talking about something to come. So paying attention to that. We are when we get to interpretation, I'm going to give you some tools to look at the Greek and the parsing so you can actually look at that. We're not going to get to that today. We're just going to look at what's the tense. Y'all know what past tense and present and future. All right, modifiers. So the verbs are loves and adores. And if I put loved, that has a different meaning, right? If it was past tense, Jamie Kate loved her enthusiastic brother, then you go, okay, what's going on in that story? Is he still alive? You know, like, so if you change one part of it, it changes the meaning of it. Modifiers, descriptive words such as adjectives and adverbs, like enthusiastic, often ending in ly. That tells you which one, how many, what kind. Prepositions, these are little things like in, on, upon, through, by. When something is in something versus on it versus through him, I have power. There's something different about that. And then connectives and conjunctions really probably are the other one that I like looking at the most. If I started the sentence with, and Jamie Kate loves her brother, what would y'all do? Yeah, you're going to look at what came before. Often in scripture, and you'll see it in Philippians, a lot of the sentences start with, therefore, or and, or but. And so when you see things like this, you're going to go, okay, what's it saying before this? Because that's important. They're continuing a thought. If you think about Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, that would be really bad if it just stopped there. But then there's a but, the free gift of God. Or Romans 1 through 11, we talked about indicatives, imperatives, all these indicatives. And then it's like, therefore, I urge you. So those are really things to point out too. So I'm going to start with one of the verses from last week, and we're going to look at it three different ways just for teaching. Let's go to the next slide. We're going to look at Philippians 1, 9 through 11, and I think you'll have it on your page. And I went ahead, if you go to the next slide, I went ahead and wrote out on there the different forms of speech. So the first thing, it starts with an and. So then you would think, okay, what came before it? Does anybody know what Philippians 1, 8 is? You have to look at your Bible, I guess, versus your sheet. Anybody have it? Yeah, he longed for them all with affection of Christ, and it is my prayer. So you have a continuing thought. It's my prayer. It's not just a prayer. If you look at all the different words, abound. So I am going to introduce you to another thing. So abound is a verb, and y'all might, I like, there are paid commentaries. A lot of people use Logos. I use Accordance because back in the day, that's all that Mac had. But there are a lot of free online resources. So I'm going to show y'all one today, and she's going to transition to my screen. It's called the Step Bible, and I think it's on your thing, but it's stepbible.org. And there are different ones of this. I'm going to give you a different resource later. So if you just look it on your phone, they have free apps. So I'm just going to show you what you could do on the computer. If you just go to stepbible.org, you can pick your translation that you want to read, and so you just click on that, and they have all these. You have NIV, you have all these different translations. So I picked ESV, all right? And then you just look and go, okay, we're studying Philippians. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to look at Philippians, and I'm going to pick to Philippians 1, all right? And I'm going to scroll. I'm borrowing someone else's computer. It's a different scrolling. Come on. Scroll. Whoops, there we go. Okay, so we are looking at, come on. My computer wouldn't work for this, and my mouse is not working. We're going to give it a second. I'm going to let him sit. Hello. So basically, it's doing that, but I'm going to give it a second. But if you click on a verb, okay. All right, there we go. All right, we're going to go back. This is very non-responsive. Okay, so demonstration. For some reason, the Holy Spirit wants us to look at clear sign. So that's an example of not what I was going to pick. But if, okay, all right, let's see. If we picked a turnout, would I be not be ashamed? I'm going to try to pick one in here. I'll just pick courage because I don't want to have to change the screen. Okay, so if I was asking the question, what is full courage? Y'all studied this week. That might have been like, what does that mean? If you just put your highlight on courage, do you see how on the bottom it comes up with the Greek? It comes up with the meaning. It says boldness. And then you have definitions, boldness, confidence, frankness, openness of speech. And if you look at the very bottom, you might not be able to read it, but it says occurs 31 times in the Bible. So it tells you how many times. Some of these are only occur two times. And then you can look at, okay, where else in the Bible is this? So if I click on courage on the side, it's going to give me more analysis and it's going to give me more and it's going to show me where is that found in scripture. And I often look and look for the verse that I'm talking about to go, okay, what can I learn more about this? So this is an easy tool just to say, hey, I want to define. When you're defining words, you could also just go online and go, Mary, just dictionary. What does abound mean in the dictionary? There's going to be something it's going to teach you. But this would be a way to really look at more of what is abound. But even if you go to later on, I'm not going to scroll. And so full courage is actually one thing. If you look at it and they're highlighted together, in English, sometimes a Greek word would be translated into two words in English. And so this is just a tool to look at that does not like me today, or I was going to look at different things. But that shows you one of the things that you can look at for later. All right. So I might let y'all do this. So if you look at, so go back to that one, other observations, pure and blameless. You know, you have two things that you're wanting. You're filled. Filled seems more like, is it past tense or present tense? You know, so you kind of look at each different word. So I'm going to give you all another chance to make observations in this time on a verse. And so I'm going to give y'all as a table, again, prizes. How many observations can y'all make on this verse? And I'm going to give you 4 minutes. So someone still be the scribe and just makes observations. It could be he is praying for them. He loves them. All right, so y'all go. We have 4 minutes to make observations. So you're just making observations about the sentence. So Paul is praying is an example of an observation, or just what you see in the text. He praying that their love would abound, that's an observation. He prays that it abounds more and more. Just making observations about what's in the text. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, pencils down. Now count how many observations you have. How many observations? Who had 10? Who had 11? Who had 12? Who had 13? Keep raising your hands. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 21. Okay, I think 22, 25, 30, 35. Okay, I think we have a winning table. Okay, so can you tell us your observations? That's okay. You can say this is many, how many ands. This is how many this.
We didn't do that.
Okay.
Is praying presently, is personally presently, is personally praying presently. Prayer, knowledge, discernment, keep growing, no limit, need knowledge, discernment to approve, practice all of this, insight, right from wrong, good and evil, excellent, imploring, pure, imploring, blameless, holy living, blameless above approach, reproach, goal. There's goals. The goal is to be filled. The goal is for the day of Christ. We need Jesus for fruit. We need Jesus for filling. The day of Christ is the return, fruit through Jesus, the fruit of glory, the fruit of praise, the fruit of spirit, righteousness. That may be a repeat. What is the action to approve? And then we listed the nouns, but we said one before. Let's see. Prayer, love, knowledge, discernment, what day, Christ, fruit, God, and righteousness.
So was it helpful to name those and define
it
things?
It really got us talking about what does each one mean, where is he going with it, possibilities.
Yeah. All right, so I have gift cards, and I have these wonderful little homemade cookies for Valentine's Day, too.
Thank you.
And conversation hearts. Y'all just go crazy. Okay. All right. So we're going to keep going on this verse, and I am going to go into diagramming. And as people were asking me about, I am not a grammar person. Catherine is my her mom is a English teacher, and she loves grammar. So she's going to be my expert if anybody asks anything. So now I'm going to go into diagramming. And again, you know, if it's not helpful, you don't have to keep it. All right, so what is a diagram? And y'all have that definition on your sheet. And this is from Understanding Applying the Bible. A simplified kind of sentence diagram. So this is simplified. It's a mechanical layout of the text. This one keeps the words in the order of the text. Sometimes you'll pull things out that are modifying. We're not going to do that. This one keeps the words in the order of the text, but emphasizes relationships between clauses and phrases more than the grammatical function of individual words. This helps the student to see at a glance the primary elements of a passage and their relationship to each other. The process of developing the layout forces the interpreter to ask questions and make observations about the structure of the passage. So we are going to take that same verse, and y'all have this on your sheet too as an example. If we go to the next slide. So I took Philippians 1, 9 through 11, and I basically broke it out, all right? And so and is on its own. And so, of course, whenever you see and, I had a little arrow pointing back, you're going to look at what's before. And so then there, the clause, it is my prayer, the subject, it is my prayer. So what is he praying? And then you kind of end it, that he is praying that their love may abound. All right, how does he want their love to abound? More and more, which you could technically separate more and more if you wanted to. I ran out of room. With knowledge and all discernment. So when things are parallel, you just put an and to the side and you're like, okay, with knowledge and all discernment are equal here. He wants their love to abound more and more. And how does he want it to abound? With knowledge, he wants it to abound with discernment. Why is he praying this? That he wants that to happen so that they may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Filled with the fruit, what fruit? Of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So what helps me is just, I ask questions and I'm like, okay, the next thing is telling me the answer to that. Your love may abound. How does your love abound? More and more. How's it with knowledge and all discernment? And then you just kind of keep coming through. Philippians 1:1, I have another example. So on the screen, Paul and Timothy, and this is my favorite part, is when things are equal, you just kind of put them above each other. Paul and Timothy, servants of who? Of Christ Jesus. All right. And it starts, when you start with a new thought, like a new sentence or a new thought, you go all the way to the left to all the saints. Which saints? The saints in Christ Jesus and who are at Philippi. And then also with, so he's to all the saints with all the overseers and deacons. So overseers and deacons are kind of equal. So you kind of have them unequal. And verse 2, grace to you and peace. So grace and peace, see how they're kind of parallel? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So from, there's two equal parties this is from, right? God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is not a magic way to do it. I did the diagram of it, and then I looked at Robertson McQuilkins, and I'm like, oh, he did things a little differently than me, and that's okay. There is not a right way to do this. It might be as you read and study the text, you think, oh, those two things are equal, and someone else might think, oh, no, the emphasis are in here. So this is not like there's a perfect way. It's just examples of it. I'm going to open the floor, which will scare me a little bit. But does it make sense what I'm talking about? Those of you who know how to do diagramming, this is easy. I am not a grammar person. But I will say every time I am studying a new text, it just helps me get my thoughts out before I start studying. It's my first thing I do just to kind of look at high level, big picture. I ask questions of the text and I see what's parallel. It just helps me look at structure. Again, if you hate it, don't ever use it. But for some of you who know how to diagram sentences, it's going to work. So questions, you might just say, I don't know in my questions. What I'm going to do is y'all are going to have time to practice. All right. And I've decided to make this either on your own or as a table, because I think for some of you, it's like, I don't know how to do that. So this can be a table exercise. Y'all do this together. So if you are the English teacher, you can help everybody else. And so this is a table exercise. All right. And so we have the next page. We have a table exercise. You're going to look at, and this is a passage that you studied this week. Read Philippians 1, 19 through 21. So on your own if you want to, but I'm going to say if you feel insecure, do it as a table. All right, really read Philippians 1, 19 through 21. Practice diagramming the sentences. There is no right answer. So no one's going to go, oh, you did that wrong. You had that word in the wrong place. It's just practicing it. And you might just want to practice one verse instead of all of it, and that's okay. So you just pick one verse and practice it. Make observation of the text. And then just to define some key words. So basically, I'm going to give y'all a long time, 20 minutes to do this. And you're just going to sit in this passage. Of course, read it first. Maybe diagram one of the sentences if you want. And then make observations and define words. Does this make sense? I know. Are y'all, who's intimidated by this? I probably would be. Okay. See, honesty. All right. So I'm available. I will be roaming. All right, 20 minutes.
All right, so I'm going to interrupt y'all. I'm so encouraged because I've talked to several tables. I will say, as I talked to different people, they did it differently, and I totally follow it. So there is freedom here. And also, someone asked a question about my questions. You know how sometimes I would ask a question and it would be answered? That's technically not part of diagramming. Diagramming is just the black part. But it is helpful to ask questions of the text. Sometimes the answers will be in the text. And sometimes you'll wait for interpretation to answer those questions. But I thought I'd start with, what was a new insight? Y'all studied this passage this week. If anybody would be willing to share before I kind of give my diagram, were there any new insights for you by doing it this way? Would anybody be willing to share something new that you saw that you didn't see this week? Hand back there. I have a mic just so everybody can hear you.
So, for these three verses, it was for 19, it was saying that Paul, through the Church of Philippi, their prayer with the Spirit, and the outcome is for deliverance. Mm-hmm. Then in 20, it goes on to have a his expectation and hope, and how he is not ashamed and with courage and honored Christ. And so there's two outcomes actually there, by life or by death. Yeah. They are parallel.
Yeah.
And so I said that when I look at 19, you know, when we see, he said he's expecting deliverance and through the prayer in the mm-hmm. Spirit. However, on the 20th, the outcome are two, both. It could be life, it could be death. And then I saw that, I realized in Paul's eyes, he views the deliverance as both ends, no matter what the outcome, it's deliverance for him.
Absolutely.
And I thought about that for me, if I just read 19, I thought the deliverance is, you know, release from the prison.
Right.
But then keep reading mm-hmm. in the text, he's saying both, and in that both are deliverance in Christ.
That's great.
And I think that's a new thing, and how in our life, in my life, I would have very different perspective. We always pray for a positive sort of outcome and view that it's a deliverance. If it's different, opposite, it's like a sad situation, and we wonder where God is. But so that's a new thing for me to realize.
That's great. That's great. She basically unpacked the whole verse. But, so if anybody else wants to do something short, I'll go into the diagramming. She basically, you hit so much. You hit so much. Does anybody else have one more thing that they saw that was new? Or we could go into the diagram. Okay. Well, I'm going to have more interaction about how y'all experienced this afterwards. Okay. So this is not the right way, but I'm going to show how I diagram. And I think just some things she was saying will show up. Can we go to my diagram? All right. So four, you start with four. So, you know, of course I've got to look before this, for I know, all right, what does he know? That through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So those things are parallel. And so when I was studying it, I'm like, that's a new insight for me. He had equal weight. Didn't he have equal weight? And she was saying that he had equal weight on their prayers, because God uses prayers. He's begging them from prayers, and he has equal weight to Jesus, the help of the Spirit of Christ. And that's a new observation when you look at it that way. Those are equal. This will turn out for my deliverance. Now, did anybody look up deliverance in the Step Bible? I know y'all are focusing on the grammatical. Deliverance, it's the same word soteria for salvation. So it's the same word for salvation. His deliverance is salvation. And he's looking ultimately the eschatological sense, like ultimately my salvation will be with Jesus. So life or death is basically his deliverance. It wasn't just when you read it and you think deliverance from prison, but as Ping was talking about, you know, basically if you keep going, deliverance, there was freedom to him. It could be by life or it could be by death.
This will turn out for my deliverance. That is as. It is my eager expectation and hope. So those are two things that are equal. So I put them right above each other. It's my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed. And ashamed, if you really look it up, it's more not, it's really more about courage. God is going to come through, that I'm not going to be ashamed because of my hope in him. That with full courage, and full courage is a fun one to look up, but with full courage, now as always, so now as always, Christ will be. So we have now, he's praying that for courage. And he's also praying for courage in the future. As always, Christ will be honored in my body. And he is talking about his body, not just his spirit, his body, by life or by death. And for me, to me, to live is Christ. And if you do look at the words, there's no is. So the Greek is actually to live Christ, to die gain. And there's something that that tells you. It is to live is basic in essence. My life is Christ. My life is Christ. To die gain. And if you look at that, and I was thinking that last night we were reading to my daughter about Moses not entering the promised land in one of the little storybook Bibles, and Dad was asking, why did he not get in? And she's like, because he sinned. You know, and I hear Dad going, yes, but we all sin. And I was like, you know, that's right. You know, it feels kind of harsh. He hits the rock, and then the punishment is you can't go in. But when we're talking about it, I was like, you know, Moses actually was better off. Was he better off to be with Jesus than hanging out with the Israelites, walking in the promised land, going through war? We can interpret things in thinking real salvation and deliverance is him delivering me from this thing. But for Paul, he's like, I know what's coming for me when I go to heaven. I mean, in fact, and y'all have read, he kind of wants to go be with God, but he's like, God is having me stay for you guys. I would rather be with Christ. And there's this, and it's like, gosh, I want to have that. I want to have this heart to live Christ, to die gain. And often I think to live, you think of the opposite, to live is gain, to die is Christ. Do y'all think of that often? He didn't word it that way. He didn't say live, gain, die, Christ. But to live is Christ and to die is gain. So hopefully, how is that? Were there any, well, we talked about new insights. Does that help? Are y'all willing to kind of try this maybe this week? Anybody have questions or thoughts about it? Yes.
Sorry. Jamie, will you just explain why for 21 you kind of started all over? Does that make sense?
And that's true. And that's where you can look at how you're interpreting it. And because I kind of thought of it as just this new thought, you know, kind of like a pause. He's taken a breath. You've gone through this whole thing. Christ will be honoring my body by life or by death. So I could see if you kind of kept it going, I could see why you would do that, because he's already said by life or by death. I think of it as a pause and a new thought. Him kind of going, for to me, to live is Christ and to die gain. So I think that's where your interpretation comes in. To me, I just thought of it as this, okay, I've said all this, and he's backing up, and he's making a statement. He's like dropping the mic, you know, to live Christ, to die gain. But that's where you're going to have different things, and it's not wrong. And I will say this is my first part of observation is rewriting this. As I study the passage, I might realize, oh, I wrote that wrong. Really, he was saying this. I don't go back and pick and fix this because it's a tool. I might just have more insight as I study and make interpretation. So this is a beginning tool, but that's a great question. Y'all probably have different things when I was talking to people. Some of them had this help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ all in one line, and that is fine. And then they had, you know, through your prayers, and then separately the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The tool is to be helpful, and you're going to do it differently. Any other questions? Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah, conjunctions are a big deal for him. Think about all his letters, every and, every but. I will not be ashamed. And then there's this transition of thought, but with full courage. The ands have, yes, he has huge run-on sentences. So this is a new tool for Paul with his, whoever said at the beginning, someone said, remember when we did expectations and reservations? I remember someone on the screen said, I do not like Paul. And maybe it was because of the run-on sentences. Hopefully y'all are getting to like Paul. Paul is a good guy. Any other observations? I know this is a new tool and it's clunky. Remember how we had the graph at the beginning? When you do new tools, it's like hard work. My goal is y'all still to spend time with Jesus. So if the tool gets in the way of you responding to the Lord, please let it go. And all right, so what I'm going to do, it's 1:11. All right, here's my goal each week. Because we have 13 discipleship groups in here and 80-something other ladies in here, I want to give discipleship groups time, if they want to connect. Your rooms are still available. If it's too loud in here, I'm going to go ahead and cover the homework. And then I'm going to give discussion for whoever wants to stay and keep talking. I'll have discussion questions. So the homework this week is Philippians 2, 1 through 11. And y'all have that on your homework sheet. And do y'all remember the weekly homework guide that they gave out? This is a tool to use, but I would love for y'all to diagram some verses this week. Would anybody be willing to diagram some verses this week? Just try to diagram some verses this week. And next week we're going to move into analysis and interpretation. I'm going to be away. The PCA has the leadership conference, a national leadership conference, and I'm on the regional team representing North Florida, Alabama, and Georgia, which is sweet. I get to encourage churches and help create partnerships, so I'm speaking at that next week. So I will not be here, but Sam will be here, and I'll be praying for you guys. All right, so I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give the time for D groups to leave. I'm going to go ahead and give you your questions, and then I'm going to pray. All right, so for you, all right, we'll go to the next one. Optional exercise, so D groups you could do or not. What did you hear? Were there any aha moments or new insights? What questions do you have? And y'all could talk about it at the table. And then just thinking about, y'all spent time in the Word this week. I want y'all to have a chance to talk about that. What did God teach you? So what is the Lord teaching you through your time in the Word? So those are questions. I'm going to pray. And if D groups, either you could stay or go, we'll officially be done. But I would love y'all to stay and hang out and discuss. So I'm praying. Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the complexity of your Word. And even as we started, that scripture is God breathed, that every and every but and every for and every therefore and every to and every in and every the and every current tense and past tense and future tense has meaning. So I pray for us, would we have wonder as we come to your Word? By your Spirit, would you make it come alive for us? And I pray even this week, as we spend time making observations, would you help us have new insight? Maybe we've studied Philippians 20 times. Would you help us to have new insights? And if we're new and we've never studied this wonderful book of Scripture, God, would you just teach us more? Would we have the attitude of Paul to live Christ, to die gain? How would you give us tender hearts to you? And we pray this in your name. Amen.